Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. This podcast is dedicated to helping you create a life that sets your soul on fire. I believe that is truly possible for everybody, but you have to be willing to do a few things. You have to be willing to let go of your past conditioning. You have to be willing to break free from societal norms. And you have to be willing to get really curious about your life and how you can start to look at it differently. Each week, we will hear stories from people who have done exactly this. People who chose to disrupt the life path they were on, go against the grain, and share the lessons and perspective shifts they had to make along the way. Every episode is committed to not only inspiring you and connecting you with other amazing humans, but actually giving you the tools that you need to use this information in your own life so that you continue to evolve and reconnect with your highest self. Are you ready? Let's have some fun. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. Thank you so much for being here and spending this hour with us. We do not take it lightly, and we have got an amazing episode for you today. Today, we are joined by Melissa Rodriguez. She is a serial entrepreneur, marketing consultant, and digital nomad. So Melissa's unique approach empowers female entrepreneurs to harness their menstrual cycle and feminine energy to thrive in their business while amplifying their content through her marketing firm. As you join us for this conversation, we explore Melissa's journey as a nomadic, pregnant entrepreneur and dive into the transformative power of traveling, embracing change, and taking ownership of our actions. We get into a lot of stuff in this episode that I know was just a really fun conversation. We talk about challenging societal norms and some of the negative things that are said about parenthood and pregnancy and where that might come from, what it feels like to actually follow your heart, allowing yourself to make change in your life if you need to. We talk about how to break shame cycles and all kinds of fun stuff. I know you're going to love this episode. So let's not waste another minute and get right into it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I am so excited because today I am bringing you Melissa Rodriguez. We call her Melly. I actually don't know if that is something you've always been called or if that was like a Bridget thing.
Oh, it was definitely one of my first nicknames.
Okay.
It's a natural way to shorten Melissa in Spanish. You wouldn't shorten Melissa. I know in English you would shorten it to Mel normally. In Spanish, you shorten it to Melly. And I'm originally from Venezuela, so Spanish is my first language. So definitely been Melly longer than I have any other nickname.
Amazing. So Melly, which is what I will refer to her as from here on out, we actually met through Bridget's Brew Chat. So there's a lot of people and a lot of amazing, cool people I've met through Bridget's Brew Chat. I think you guys were in a mastermind together. And really? It's funny because I am kind of considered a nomad to a lot of people. And it was always like, where is Stacey kind of show? Like, what state will she show up from today? And Melly is like a whole nother level of this. So I think that the most appropriate question for us to start with is, where are you currently?
Where am I currently? I am in Brazil. I'm in a village called Barra da Lagoa, on an island called Florianópolis. That is where I am.
Amazing. And how long have you been there?
I've been here for about a month. I'm a very slow nomad. I'd like to stay places for at least like 1, 2, ideally 3 months. We're here for 2 months in total. So this is kind of like a short stop for us. But yeah, I'm a very slow nomad.
Yes. No, I love that. Where were you before this?
Before this, I was in Argentina and we were there for a total of 6 months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, this is, and you said you're originally from Venezuela. Have you always lived like this nomadic life or when did that start?
Well, I'm sure my upbringing had something to do with it. So I'm originally from Venezuela, but when I was six and a half, we moved to the UK, to Scotland. So I grew up in Scotland in a town called Aberdeen. My parents were divorced and I would go spend time in Venezuela multiple times a year. So I never really stopped feeling Venezuelan, even though I grew up in the UK. I never, like, I can recognize there are a lot of things about my culture that come from the UK and the way that it and where I grew up. But at the same time, I never ended up feeling, you know, not Venezuelan, never ended up feeling British, because I feel like I grew up in a very Venezuelan home in the UK. And at the same time, I spent a lot of time in Venezuela. And I do come from a family of immigrants. My grandparents were Spanish. So I've got Spanish nationality. And then we ended up moving to Spain when I was 16. Then I ended up going back to the UK for university. I went to Oxford. I really wanted to study philosophy, politics, and economics there. And it felt like a massive reach to be applying to, you know, the top university in the world at the time. But I managed to get in and I went to university there. And after that, pretty much all my adult life, I have been moving around. I wouldn't say I've been nomadic all of my, you know, since after college. I did spend a couple of years in different places. But for the past five or six years, I've been pretty much nomadic. So, all over the place.
All over the place. So yes, you've kind of have always had this bug in you, I guess, so to say, between the way you lived with your family, having roots in multiple places, which I just think is so powerful, and being able to have and keep your culture from where you were born, but also having yourself so dug into another place. I'm sure was that difficult to kind of go back and forth between the two? What do you think is one of the things you maybe learned, like looking back, by having this really unique situation growing up?
Ooh, that's a great question. I remember feeling out of place everywhere. Like, I remember feeling like, okay, so when I'm in Venezuela, I'm the British kid, like I'm the weird kid that lives abroad. And then when I'm in the UK, I'm the weird kid that comes from another place. I remember feeling out of place everywhere. And it definitely caused like a little bit of trauma with a lowercase t for me to feel that way. And then as I grew up, I actually ended up seeing it as a superpower. It's not that I'm out of place everywhere. I'm actually in place everywhere. I can fit in anywhere, because I have lived in multiple worlds, and I'm very malleable, right? And it's very easy for me to fit into different cultures or atmospheres or even social circles, because I have been a part of different social circles. Like, you can drop me in, like, I don't know, a party where people are, I don't know, in very high paying jobs and went to fancy colleges, and I'll be fine. Like, I'll feel in place. And I can also be, I don't know, we have neighbors here in Brazil who I bet have never left the island, and I can kind of, you know, defend myself in my very basic Portuguese and also feel like I can connect with them. So, I feel like something that was maybe turned out to feel like a little bit of a chip on my shoulder as I've grown up has definitely become more of a superpower to fit into different worlds.
I got chills with that, because it was like, I'm not out of place anywhere. I'm in place everywhere. And I think that's so, what an amazing shift. And I can't imagine, because oftentimes we do look back and realize the things that we went through have created, they can be our biggest superpowers if we choose to see them that way. If we start to like live that. And that is a gift, and probably one of the, I mean, just from my perspective, probably one of the reasons why it's so easy for you to move through the world and be nomadic, because you actually have a lot of confidence in your ability to just fit it, to be able to figure it out no matter where you're at.
And I'm sure you could drop me anywhere in the world and I will figure it out.
Yeah, and not just on like a logical, like I can get to my hotel room and I can figure out how to connect with, you know, the taxi driver to get me to where I'm going, but to actually establish a rootedness and like a feeling of belonging, which is a superpower, because I think that a lot of people, even when we travel with the lens of how do I make this place feel, how do I make myself feel comfortable? And we just do the bare minimum, but you never want to, you always want to come home because you don't feel grounded. You don't feel like you, like you feel as if you are, you're away from your home. And it sounds like this has become a superpower for you to be able to live this life and see the world in such a different way, because you can actually make anywhere feel like home.
Yeah, I can. And I think it's interesting that you say that, because I still have my moments, right? I still have my moments where I feel like, you know, I'll get homesick for the feeling of home, not knowing where home is. Right. Like I'll see people who are, who live somewhere that where they grew up and they have their friends and they have their family. And I wouldn't even know where that place was for me, because my family is so spread out and we're all over the place. And even the place that I culturally feel where I'm most from, which is Venezuela, where I feel most connected to emotionally. We were there for 6 months last year and we didn't actually have that big a social circle. Like, of course I had my father, my sister, my husband has his father there as well. But because of the political situation in Venezuela, everyone's pretty much left. So cousins, friends, everyone's gone. Like we're all so spread out that I get homesick for a feeling that for a place that doesn't even exist, you know? So it's interesting that you say that, because it just redefines what home is. Like I know that home for me, like if you see my background, I've got this, I take it everywhere. Like we got this as a wedding gift and we take it everywhere. And I think the feeling of having that home and have that home go with me everywhere has definitely gotten a lot easier since I started traveling with my husband, because when I was traveling alone, it was harder to maybe ground absolutely everywhere. And now that my husband and I travel together, it feels like even so much more of a superpower, because we build a home wherever we go.
Mm. And just so if you're not watching and you're listening, Melly was holding up a, what'd you consider that? It's a little thing that says home.
It's a little wooden thing that says home. It's a little wooden.
I mean, it's simple.
It's very simple. It's very light.
Yes. It's very simple. Like you got to pack it in a backpack, right? So yep. It's very simple. It's very light. And I think that's beautiful that you guys have been able to make home wherever you're at, and that, and also just the honesty of sometimes there's a yearning for, I want to feel like home, and I don't even know what is that yearning. Like where, what am I even seeking in those moments? And maybe that's something you figure out later. Maybe you hit a place and you're like, this is it. Like maybe who knows, right? Like who knows what that means. I know as we would travel through different places, I would always ask myself everywhere we went, could I live here? Could I live here?
Yeah.
And 99% of the time it's no. I'm like, no, I don't. And it's not based on anything logical.
Yeah.
And, but I would always ask myself that question. And then once we sold our house and kind of started traveling around, and we came to Greenville, we came to the lake, and we were out on it, and we turned this corner and we saw these mountains in the background, and almost instantaneously, Andrew and I both had this feeling of this is home.
Wow.
And it was a feeling. It wasn't, I was like, Andrew, I don't know how to explain it, but this just feels like home. And he's like, I just felt the same thing. And
that's beautiful.
We were kind of more looking for a home. And here's what I will say is that I also want to talk about this, because your dynamic with your husband is really fun, because Andrew and I are very different. Like I am the person that would have sold everything and just live in an RV and just been like,
Yeah.
Just go anywhere. I like pick me up, put me on an island, like do the thing. I don't need to. I'm very much, I can feel at home wherever I'm at.
Okay.
Andrew is very much, I want a home base and I want to travel and come back to home. And home for him is a physical, it's more of a physical location. Like he needs that safety, that security, that I know where my stuff is.
I get that feeling sometimes.
Yeah.
That desire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. But so I just want to talk a little bit about how, like, did you meet while you were traveling? Did you both have this? Do you have these same dynamics, or is there kind of a push pull dynamic between the two of you?
That's a really good question, actually, because I remember on our first date. So when we met, I was traveling, mm-hmm. and he had a job in an office. And he was the owner of furniture and a lease. Like he's very,
what does that mean?
Like, I know, I was like, what do you mean? You own a fridge. That was an inside joke. We had I was a woman with the suitcases and he was the man with the fridge. Right. So when we met, he was well-traveled for a lot of standards for a lot of people's, what a lot of people's standards would have been. But he was based in one place, and one place where I was spending, I think, 6 months. And I met him 2 weeks before I was like due to leave. And I remember on a first date, like I can't remember how it came up, but he said something like, oh no, I definitely see myself like, oh, it's very cool what you do, but I don't think I could do that. And I remember my heart sinking a little bit at the time, you know? But, you know, and we didn't even get together at that time. Like we dated for a couple of weeks and we lost touch for a few months. And then when we started up a relationship months later, and I ended up moving in with him, was during the pandemic. So it was mm-hmm. interesting because I think there was there was a part of me that was like, well, can't travel anyway, might as well go in, move in with this guy and give this a shot, right? I can be anywhere. And we did that for about a year and I loved it. And we got an apartment, like decorated it. And about a year in, and when things started opening up again in the world, I remember feeling like I need to travel again. Like the bug is back. Like, this is nice, but I don't like where we're living. Like, I don't like the city where we're living. I really do not feel at home here. And I was really happy in my relationship with, you know, my then boyfriend. So I remember thinking like, okay, I want to start traveling up again. This doesn't mean we have to break up, but like, I'm going to start taking some trips. Like I'm going to go away and do things. And he still had like an office job. So that was when he was started looking for remote work. I think in him, there was like she's flying and I might lose her if I don't, you know, fly with her. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he had started, like, even though he was in an office because of the pandemic, he was working remotely from the city. Like, he had to stay in the same city, but he started getting used to working remotely. And he was like, actually, I can see how you might want to do this in different places in the world. So, yeah, I think at the beginning, I was the one who was like, yep, definitely want to move around, do all the things. It was difficult for him to sell his things because we sold things and packed up our lives in a couple suitcases and started traveling. But then as soon as we started traveling, he was like, I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to do that. Like he fell in love with the lifestyle for himself, not just for me, which I was really happy about because I would never want him to do something like that just for me, you know? And what's interesting is now as I'm pregnant, I'm 16 weeks pregnant. And now as we plan like having our baby and are we going to travel in the same way? Like what's going to happen? I'm the one who is thinking maybe a home base would not be a bad idea. Somewhere where we could just have our things like that. The things, that is the part that gets me. I'm like, oh, like what if we want to buy the baby like a really nice crib? What do we do with the crib? Right? These little questions that you just think, okay, I know I can travel with a baby, but am I really going to want to not have as many things, you know? So yeah, that's our current dilemma.
Well, it's so fun and congratulations. It's so exciting. And I can only imagine that people are thinking, oh my gosh, okay, you live this life. And I'm sure you're thinking this too in a lot of ways. And then now we're going to bring a baby into it. And I actually want to talk more about that because I think that there is so much, how do I say this lightly? Maybe I can't, and I'm not even going to
just say it.
There's so much negativity around having a baby. It is mind-boggling. Like,
it's crazy.
As soon as you, so for those of you who don't know, and I'm putting a whole podcast episode on Patreon for this, but Melly and I were very close in pregnancy. I had a miscarriage. I'm okay. But I'm going to post about that experience. She didn't. But I got a taste of people's beliefs around having a child are like, here's my philosophy. Here's my philosophy on it, because then maybe we can talk about this a little bit, because I want to hear your, because I think when you get into this situation, you start to take on a lot of other people's beliefs around what it means to be a good parents, a good mom, what it means to give up your life for this child. Like, there's these, like, and I believe that a lot of people, they follow the path, right? They get the job, they get the house, they get married, or whatever order you do those things. Then you just do the next logical thing, which is to have the kid, do this, do that. Well,
I feel so sad when people say that. I really do. When people are like, oh, we had this kid because, like, oh, we got married a couple of years ago. And it was the next thing to do. Like, are you serious? This is a person.
And we're not, and I want to be very clear, I'm not shaming anybody. We are not, like, I don't want anybody to feel bad if that is the choice that you made. It's totally fine. And I just want to give it a different perspective, a different lens, because Andrew and I, we almost went down that road. We actually tried for like a month, and it was kind of like, it was just the next logical step. And I'm so flipping grateful that we did not get pregnant, because I think that when we do things, not from a heart space, but from a logic space, from a space that it, like, Andrew and I wanted to feel ready. And that is not something that, like, we didn't know what that feeling even felt like until, it's like the same thing when we found our home. We didn't know what that feeling was until we felt it. And then it was like, oh, maybe we're ready to, like, this feels right for us. We have now been married for 15 years. Our entire family had completely counted out the fact that they were like, they're not doing it. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
And then we were like, surprise, here we are. And it was a feeling. But I think that when we do things because we think we should, or we think we were supposed to, there's a lot of bitterness and resentment that comes, that's associated with that child. And nobody wants to believe this. They don't want to believe that they are bitter and resentful. But if you give up your life, and that's the view, and that's the belief, is that you have to give up your life, or you did this thing because everybody else told you you should, or that was the next cool thing to do, there's going to be resentment, because you feel like you had to give up a piece of yourself in order to do this. And I just find it a very dangerous, it's like a dangerous thing. And I would just love to get your thoughts.
So I think it's so deeply rooted in our culture, that when you have kids, you stop living. Like, I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, we'd meet friends or family members, as we were traveling maybe a couple of years ago, where, you know, it was very obvious that we were a couple who was going to stay together. and who had like, who they would assume, I mean, it was true, but they had no reason to assume, I guess, that we had intentions of having a family. And they would say things like, oh, you know, enjoy this whilst you can, travel whilst you can, have fun whilst you can. It all changes when you have children. And, you know, I haven't had the baby yet, so I do want to take all this with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what my experience is going to be like. However, I know when I've seen examples of families who travel together, I've seen examples of parents who make the family the center of their lives rather than the children. And that's different, right? It's different to say, okay, now my child is the center of absolutely everything I do, rather than saying like, okay, now my family is the center of everything I do. You are part of the family as well. You as parents are part of the family. And that's something that Jose and I want to be very intentional about as we have, you know, this baby and more babies, hopefully. We want to have multiple children. So it's something that we want to be very intentional about, because I do believe that the way that parenting is set up culturally, and I don't know if I'm going to change my mind as soon as the baby comes out. I don't think so, though. I really don't think so. And the feeling about being ready, what you just said, I can 100% identify with that. There was a moment a few months before we got pregnant where Jose was like, I'm ready. Are you ready? And I was like, I don't feel ready. And when I said I don't feel ready, I gave him a list of all of the logical reasons why I wasn't ready. I was like, I'm not ready because, you know, what about our home base? And what about like money? And what about this? And what about that? Like, I had this like long list of logical reasons of why I wasn't ready. Okay. And he was like, okay, you're not ready. That's cool. Let's wait till you're ready. It's all good. Like, you gave me a list of logical reasons. Let's wait until all of these are no longer the case. A couple of months later, I wake up one day and I was like, I'm ready. And pretty much nothing on that list had changed. Like, I can't say that. But it was a feeling. It was like, okay, I'm ready. This baby wants to come now, and I'm ready. I'm ready to be a mom. I'm ready and excited to be a parent with my husband. And 2 weeks later, I was pregnant. Like, it was like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I totally got what you mean. And I love seeing, and I'm trying to flood myself with these stories and these influencers and these, and I say influencers not in the way that you say like, oh, like Instagram influencers. I mean, people who are actually influencing other people. I'm flooding myself with these examples of people who are parenting and traveling on purpose, or even if they're not traveling, that you can just tell when someone is parenting because they felt called, they were ready, it's what they wanted to do, and they're doing it in a way that's so beautiful and so unique to them, and they're making their decisions in a conscious way. And again, I don't want to shame anyone who has gone down a more traditional route. Maybe that is their conscious decisions, right? Maybe maybe they made the conscious decisions to do things in a way that perfectly aligns with what culture expects of us.
Or it's part of their learning process, right?
Maybe.
They'll have to unravel at some point, and that's part of that, yeah, that unfolding for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But it is fascinating. And actually, since I remember more negative comments about parenting before I got pregnant than after I got pregnant. I don't know if I've just done a very good job of filtering who I speak to, or because of the way I live, people have been aware of saying things to my face. That's also a possibility. But I've definitely felt more negativity around that, and more of like, oh, you're going to have to change everything. Thankfully, I haven't had so many of those comments. No, I've definitely had some questions of like, how are you going to do this? Or what are you going to do that? Or even around the pregnancy, like, how are you traveling whilst pregnant? Mm-hmm. How are you permanently traveling? Don't you have like a doctor that you go to for all of your checkups? And then there's also just the taking responsibility, right? So I'm taking responsibility for my pregnancy. I'm taking responsibility for when I have my checkups. I am going to different doctors in different areas of the world as I travel. And I feel good about that. You know, if I, and also I have a low risk pregnancy. If I had a high risk pregnancy for any reason, maybe I'd make a different decision. But yeah, I don't know. I think that it's such a joy to be able to take this step with my husband, us both feeling ready. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm scared. Of course, you know, I don't know what I don't know. I'm already feeling identity shifts. I'm already feeling desires shifting in different ways. And you know, I'm only 16 weeks pregnant. There's so much more, so much road ahead of us, but I'm feeling like it's such a joy in this journey. And it definitely feels like my personal evolution was calling for this in a way, you know?
Yeah. And gosh, there's so much to kind of dive into here, but I just want to acknowledge something that you said that was so simple. Is I'm going to these different doctors. I am, I have a low risk pregnancy, so I'm able to do that. And it feels good right now. And this is the thing, is that can you give yourself, and I'm talking to anybody who's listening, can you give yourself permission to change your mind? Can you allow yourself to do what feels good rather than try to force yourself or push yourself down a path that, like, if there's a time that, and this is what I truly believe about you and a big reason why I wanted to talk to you, if there's a time that Melly feels like this isn't working and it doesn't feel good anymore, she will give herself permission to completely change, to find that home base, to do whatever it is that's going to come back to feeling good. I believe that feeling good is our natural state of being, and we fight it because we're trying to do what we should or what other people's beliefs are. Because if you tried to do that now, I think you would feel bad. And then there's that resentment and that bitterness would start to, because you're like, this isn't the life that I want to be living right now. And you mm-hmm. naturally are going to have to tie that to something. And so you're going to tie it to this pregnancy. You're going to tie it to this baby, when the truth is you just turned away from feeling good because everybody told you that whatever this isn't possible.
Right. Right. That's so powerful. And I guess anyone in that situation, the question you have to ask yourself is why? There are so many things that people tell us aren't possible. It's just not done that way. And I really challenge you to ask why. A lot of the times it's not even a thing. Like, there's always a workaround.
Yeah. And I think it's also who, right? That's a big question that I am
true.
Is like, who is in your head? Who is in your head? Because yes, there may be, and I do think that your question is, both of these questions need to be asked. And I think that sometimes it can be helpful to actually name it, to name who told you that. Where did that come from? Because a lot of times the voices that are running through our head at any given moment, they're not even our voice. It's mom or the school teacher who did this, or the person on Instagram that said this. And so if you can label it, you could almost be like, oh, and then,
yeah,
well, why like that? Just because that might be true for them. Somebody asked a question yesterday. I was doing a workshop with Andrew, and he asked a question that he kind of stops people with. And I think that this is a question that any of us could reflect on, is that the truth or is that your truth? Right? And it's kind of like this essence of all of our beliefs that we have can be changed with new information. And can you give yourself the freedom to change your mind, to gather new information and want something different?
I just want to repeat what you said, because it's really powerful. All of the beliefs that we have can be changed with new information. Wow.
And this is why we get scared of information sometimes, right? We get scared to ask questions because
there's such an abundance of information as well today.
Mm-hmm.
An abundance and accessibility, it can be overwhelming. So it's unsurprising that for many of us, most of our beliefs, they were just kind of arbitrarily formed by the information that we had closest to us or most available to us or most convincing because they came from a particular person, like you were just saying, at a particular moment in our lives where we were maybe more susceptible to them.
Mm-hmm. And that's where let's go back to something Melly and I have talked about multiple times already in the 33 minutes we've been recording. In Conversations with God, it's a great book if you've never read it. It says, if you want to know the truth about something, look to how you feel.
Mm.
Go back to the feeling. It's because it's so powerful. And I actually just posted something on Instagram last night, and I started doing this thing where at the end of the day, I rate my day on a 1 to 10 scale based on how I feel laying my head on the pillow, based on how I felt. And because your energy and that feeling that you have, it doesn't lie. It's your barometer of how fulfilled you feel in your life. And how fulfilled you feel in your life is directly correlated to how in alignment you are living with your highest self, with that center of who you are, which is for each person, it's as unique as your blue, as like your fingerprint. Like there is no center that is perfect for every single person. But you know, at the end of the day, if you lived in alignment with that center or not, because if you can lay your head on the pillow and be like, man, that was just a great day, you can feel that. You feel fulfilled. And at the same time, if you lay your head on the pillow and you're like, ugh, like I can't wait to go to bed and start over again tomorrow. It's a different feeling than I can't wait to go to bed because I feel so fulfilled, right? They feel different. And then you get to reflect.
Or there's a, I don't want to go to bed because I don't want to do tomorrow.
Right, there's a whole nother one. Like, and sometimes, and Andrew and I have been laying in bed before and we would have a great day. And one thing he would say to me is, I don't want to go to bed because I don't want the day to end.
Yeah, I get that. Well,
and I get that. And it's because, and again, it's that feeling. Today was a day that was so in alignment with my soul that I don't want it to end because what if tomorrow is not that? But every day is this opportunity to choose. And my reflection is if it's not a 10, just somewhere in that day, I went against what my soul was asking for. I didn't act as if, like the other day, something happened. Andrew and I were having our family meeting, and the way I showed up, it wasn't great. It was not my highest self, I can tell you that much, because it didn't feel good. And I don't beat myself up for that. But at the end of the day, I can't give myself a 10 because and it's an opportunity to reflect on what didn't feel good. Did I not actually want to have the meeting and I forced myself to have it? Was I just in a really negative headspace because of this? And the next day I get to choose different. But I guess what I'm trying to get across is life, it's a feeling. And if you don't feel good or feels like something's missing or this or that, give yourself permission to change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's normal for there to be things that don't feel good. And to let that also be information, right? Because I think it can be when you hear this for the first time, it can also be easy to get caught up in beating yourself up, right? Of, oh, I'm not feeling good. And oh my God, here I am again doing things that don't make me feel good. And then you just make yourself feel worse. I know I've been there.
Yeah.
And I know there's this audio, this Abraham Hicks audio that is like a good morning audio. It's on Spotify. There was like a couple months where I listened to it every day. And it said something like, anytime that you don't feel good, rejoice in that because that's information for you. And that is so powerful as well, to just be able to reframe that of, okay, I'm not a bad person for not feeling good. This is just giving me something that I needed to hear, right? This contrast is something that's also part of my soul's journey. This contrast is something that I also needed in this moment and created for myself in this moment so that I could, maybe not now, maybe I need to experience this 5 more times before I make a different decision that can also happen sometimes. But it is something that was necessary for me to make that different decision. So to be okay with that, to accept that, to love that anyway, and to not make it about, okay, now I'm losing at this life game because I'm, oh, I keep going to bed and it's like a 6. So, yeah.
And I always say to, and you're spot on, I always say to my clients, I'm like, it's data.
Yeah.
It's just data. Don't let your emotional, your emotions take over it. Don't let your head take over it. Don't try to figure it out. It's just data that you mm-hmm. then get to do something with. And I think sometimes we get significantly too attached to, it's like money, right? And I have a friend who is, oh, actually, you know her, Amy. Yeah. We'll have her on the podcast soon, but Amy does financial advising. She helps people with building wealth. And one of the things that I had to shift in my own life in order to completely shift my relationship or the beliefs that I had with money is it's just data. She would tell that to me all the time. That's just, they're just numbers, Stacey. They're just data. If you don't start to judge them and put an emotion to them and start to tie them to your worth in some way, shape, or form,
yes,
then all it is data that then can lead you to the next step of what you how to change it, how to transform it, to get it to a place where you feel really good. So if it, yeah. And I just think that's, can we do that with the things in our life a little bit more, is be more the witness of it and use it as a, see them as tools rather than punishments or thinking that there's something wrong with us because we feel a certain way.
Yeah. So why do you think that a lot of us have this tendency to assign so much meaning to what is neutral data? I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm supposed to be interviewing you. no, I'm just kidding.
You said jamming.
I said we were jamming. You're right. This is more of a podcast of jamming. There's no interviews here. So I think that this is going to sound really funny, but I think we like to suffer. I think that we, our ego, let me reframe. Our ego loves to, it loves to keep us safe and comfortable in exactly where we're at. And this is something that I tell people about is when there's these 8. So when I'm working with people, there's like these 8 different things in our life that we're always trying to get a hold on. It can be health, wealth, like our relationships, our spirituality, our career, our personal growth, our fun and recreation. I can't even think of the other one, but anyway, so there's all these, like, there's these things, and there's always one that people are really, they struggle with the most. Like for a lot of people, it's health. Like I have a lot of people in my life right now, a lot of clients that are like, their health is something that is just blocking them. And the way that I reframe this is that whatever that thing is for you, if you break through it and you get to the other side of it, it will unlock such a profound new level in your life that your ego will do everything it possibly can to keep you stuck. Because it doesn't, it even though, because it likes comfort and it's like, I don't know what she's capable of if she breaks through this. Like, our life could completely change, which is the most terrifying thing to our ego. And so it's like, I will do everything that I can to not let you break through this one thing, which is why there's so much resistance. And it's like this domino, because if you break that one, all of a sudden you've got this level of confidence that you can break through anything. And your life is about there. Something will unlock that will just domino into everything else. And now you're living a life that you never thought possible. And so I think what?
It's an upper limit.
It is an upper limit. That's all it is. And so I think that why we do this to ourselves is it's our ego trying to downward spiral us because it can't let you get there. It's like it's too uncertain. And so we would rather sit in our own suffering and just kind of spiral into, we'd rather look backwards, and your mind is always kind of looking backwards, right? That's why we can't trust it to make decisions for right now. We want to trust our body and that feeling. Hmm. How do we feel? Because our mind is always looking backwards. And so it looks backwards and says, let's use the wealth one, because that's where I was at. So you get, you're working on your money, mm-hmm. right? And something happens, you get hit with something. So let's just say it's you forgot to pay a credit card on time and you got a late fee.
Okay.
The downward spiral says, I knew I couldn't do this. So then that downward spiral, I knew I couldn't do this, spirals into, I'm just broken in this department, spirals down into just this like self wallowing,
right? Where I'm just bad with money.
I'm bad with money. Everything that you have collected along the years, you spiral into it and you're like, this is just the way it is. Okay. Not super uplifting. Right. Of course. Well, at any point we have the chance to spiral upwards. And so, but when you spiral downwards, that's what you're creating. You will always create what you believe. So it's like that spiral down is I'm creating, I'm just bad with money. Right?
Yeah.
Rather than the spiral up would be the late fee hits and you choose a different story in that moment. You choose, well, I just started paying attention to this. Mm-hmm. And of course I slipped up, because whenever we're doing something new, whenever we're changing something new, we're going to slip up. Like, people slip up. And so then you're like, but that doesn't mean, like, I'm really proud of myself for catching this in one day. And next time, this isn't going to happen again. Maybe I put this on automatic payment so that that never happens again, because I am taking charge of my financial future. That's a completely different spiral.
Completely different. Yeah.
Right. But the emotions, I think we attach ourselves to those emotions because we want to convince ourselves it's true rather than convince ourselves that it's not true.
Right.
And I'm 35 and there's 35 years of programming that can tell me that can confirm that downward spiral. I have one moment to change it to an upward spiral, and I don't actually have proof that it's true yet.
It's a lot, not necessarily harder, but we have that tendency to go towards. Also, I think we have, or at least I've observed this with myself and definitely friends and clients, a need for drama sometimes. right? And need for that. Entertainment, drama, something's happening. I'm just like not getting this. And we always feel the need to have like a little bit of drama in our lives. And we could create drama with an upward spiral as well. Like we could do that. We could say, late fee. Well, look at me now. This triggered me into actually looking at all my credit cards, not just this one, and putting them in automatic payments. And then actually, as I was doing credit cards, I realized that there's this other credit card that gives me a much better deal. It's a much better financial decision for me. And what if I switched all over there? And that's drama as well. That is also entertainment that is in an upward spiral.
Yeah.
But it can be, I think we just have the tendency, and culturally as well, what's more acceptable is for us to say, I'm such a victim of myself because I'm broken and I'm bad at this, and go into that downward spiral because we want to create a little bit of entertainment for ourselves.
Yeah. And I always joke, Melly, I say, I know how long I want to sit in my bullshit by how long it takes me to reach out to somebody. Because if I were to just call a friend or tell somebody what I was going through, and Amy's usually this person for me, I'd be like, if I just call her, if I'm on the phone with her for 5 minutes and I bring it to the surface and I say, this is what I'm going through, this is how I'm feeling right now, she's going to say something and we're going to talk about it, and it's going to take 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 15, I don't know, and I'm going to feel better. But when you, like, so I know, and how much I want to sit in the drama by how long it takes me, because I know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
I know. And so if I just talked to someone about it, or if I went and journaled about it, or if I went and whatever tool you want to use. But for me, I think some of the fastest ways to get out of a shame cycle, right? And that's usually what it is. It's that shame cycle that we're stuck in, is
call yourself
out about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to some another person, and this requires vulnerability. This requires a level of trust in yourself and in that person to be like, I need to tell you the shame cycle that I'm stuck in, which means that I've got to be honest and truthful about what just happened. And I don't want to tell you that I just got a late fee because you're a financial person and you're going to be like, what are you doing? But that's actually not how she's going to treat me. She's like, it's data, right? Mm-hmm. But these are the thoughts that are going through my head. And it's like, and it's such a simple fix. And I always go back to, you know, the Ted Lasso thing, like the truth will, the psychiatrist, she says, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off.
I love right? that.
And I go back to that because I have to be honest with myself and with someone else. And the moment that you talk about something, that shame, that drama just I envision it as it just untangles.
Right.
And it kind of just sorts itself out. And she's like, she might give you your next breadcrumb, right? Hey, have you thought about putting it on automatic payment so you don't have to worry about that? It's one less thing that's on your mind. You never have to think about doing that. You're going to save, you know, $35 or whatever it is. What a gift. What a gift that this happened so that you could, and like going back to your point, so that you could upward spiral the drama and be like, you know, I'm going to do that with all of my cards. Now we just completely transform something.
Yeah.
And, but are you willing to be honest? Are you willing, do you have someone in your life, or have you created, because to me, I think you have to create this person in your life. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, I don't have anybody like that. Well, I didn't really used to either. And then I had to create relationships that were built on this trust, both with my husband, with some of my best friends, that because I don't want to do this alone. And it's really quite ugly when we try to.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people in your life, you know, anyone who's listening, who's thinking, no, definitely no one could be that, you know, be open to the idea. I'm sure there's already somebody in your life who you've just never shown up in that way with them. you know? And when you do show up in that way, it invites them to show up in a different way. And you can be that person for each other. You can be that support, that mirror for each other. Mm-hmm. Because someone has to go first. Someone has to, like you say, create that. It's not going to come out of thin air.
Yeah. And do you have the courage to go first? And that is the scariest thing. Let's throw a practical tool out at everybody is there's somebody who came up in your mind, guarantee, that you wish you had that type of relationship with, or, what if the belief was I can create that and you went to them? And I think one of the most vulnerable things to do is to tell people what you're working on. So the first step would be to go to that person and say, I am working on not letting myself go into these shame cycles, or knowing that I'm going to go into these shame cycles, and I need someone that can help me, that I can turn to and I can talk to, that isn't going to judge me, that will just listen and will help me kind of work my way out of it. And I would really love for that person to be you if you're open to that. But Stacey, what if they say no? Well, that's nothing against you. That's because they don't have the capacity to be that person. And that's okay.
Yeah, because they're not there.
What you want is somebody who, and again, they might not do it at first, but at some point there's going to be this reciprocating, like Amy and I, we joke, it's like tag, you're it. Like I need to be pulled out of something, and then tag, you're it. And okay, I'm going to pull you out. And now Andrew and I are like that too. We just play tag and it's an equal energy exchange. But what if you did that this week? What if you were vulnerable enough with somebody to say, I keep getting stuck in this loop and I'm working on getting better at this. And it would really mean a lot to me if I had this opportunity.
Yeah. And to take it as what it is, as support, without giving away your responsibility. And I've seen a lot of people do this when they're in formal coaching arrangements rather than with a friend or an accountability partner. But I've seen a lot of people do this, and I'm sure I've done this as well at some point, where you have a coach and you have an issue, you have a problem, and you decide to just dump it on them without taking responsibility. At the end of the day, it's still you who's working through it. You're going to get support, you're going to get breadcrumbs, and they're going to help you pull yourself out of it. However, they can only do that if you take responsibility for yourself.
And I think that's even true when you're going into these, with any relationship that you're going into. Ultimately, you are still the one that is responsible for this. And you don't just, these people don't become your dumpster.
Exactly.
Right? Like, and this is something, actually I was talking to my therapist and we were talking about, she calls them the yeah buts. Okay. So, and the yeah buts are, I'm going through this thing and the person is trying to help you maybe reframe or kind of look through this, or here's something that you could do. And it's like, yeah, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe other people can, but that's not for me. Yeah. But like, there's just always, and what that means is I'm actually not ready to be pulled out of this, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then you have to let that person go, because that's not, or you say to the person, hey, I'm not ready to actually fix this. I just want to vent. I just want to vent. I don't want you to help me try to find a solution. I don't want you to have me help me fix it at this point. I just want to vent it out. And I just need someone to do that with. And
that's underrated sometimes, you know, taking 5 minutes to like, I'm going to vent to you for 5 minutes. I don't want feedback. I don't want advice. Often you solve your own problems just by forcing yourself to talk for a full 5 minutes. So
yeah. And I think just setting yourself up for, and this is the powerful thing about relationships, is you have to communicate, what do you need in that moment? If you don't want it to be fixed, then don't say that. But sometimes also, if you just want to vent, it can be helpful to vent to a person, or, and go to your journal.
Yeah.
Your journal's not going to judge. It's not going to try to fix it. It's not going, it just gives you that space. And then when you're ready to maybe move through it in a different way, you can reach out and you're ready to take responsibility and do something, you know, to shift it, then you can do that. So, man, okay. That was fun.
I love that.
I didn't know where we were going to go there.
We took some interesting twists there.
We really did. I'm going to have to bring Melly back on because we're getting to the end. And I was already like, I have not asked you. And maybe we'll do, I don't know, we might have to do just another episode. But I'm like, where the hell, how on earth did we go from Oxford University, philosophy, politics, and economics? What the hell was it?
Philosophy, politics, and economics.
Okay. And now if you, and like, you've listened to the beginning of the episode, so you know what Melly does, which is like social media marketing, cycle thinking.
Clearly that's what everyone does when they leave Oxford after that degree, you know, obvious path.
And so I have so many questions because this is, it's not all that common, but I wish that it was actually more common, or more normalized, that what you went to school for and where it doesn't have to be the end all be all. And can
100%.
And so we'll have to have a whole nother conversation, about that, but I don't want to keep you for too long.
I would love to. Yes. Let's definitely do this again. And, just as a side note, I don't think anyone really, like, when you decide what you're going to study in college, or at least in the UK, you're 17 when you decide your university degree. I think in the States, you at least get a couple of years of like a general degree before you decide your major. It's a little bit different. But in the UK, I remember I was 16 or 17 when I decided on my degree, and I loved my degree and I enjoyed it so much. But there was no way 16-year-old Melly was ready to decide what she was going to do with her life, you know? And I don't think anyone. 35-year-old
Stacy doesn't know what she's going to do with her life half the time.
Yeah,
so.
You know?
Figure
out when we might have for lunch, but that's.
Right. Again, give yourself permission to change your mind. Like, you never know what you're going to do. So last question, I always end on one question. And that is, what is one lesson you are currently in the process of learning or moving through at, like, right now in your life?
Ooh, okay. I'm working on being kinder to myself. As I'm like carrying a baby and I, you know, examine my own patterns and I look at the, you know, one thing that I examined was like the way that I speak to myself. And although my parents were always very, you know, very kind, loving, and supporting, and everything are amazing, I recognize that there are the ways that I speak to myself, I saw them speak to themselves, you know, the way that they would be their own worst critic, for sure. And as I examine what I want my son to be like, what his experience of life, what I would like to set him up for in the best way that I can, surrender, that's not all within my control. But the main thing that comes up for me is like, God, I hope he's nicer to himself than I am to me a lot of the time. So I know I need to start with me. And it's hard. It's really hard because it's just much more natural and easier to me to just be very, very much a disciplinarian with myself. So yeah, even though, you know, my parents weren't disciplinarians with me, but it's just, I saw the way that they would, how do you hold yourself to a high standard, which is something that I love about myself, and also do it in a way that's kind and loving. That's what I'm working on.
It's so powerful. And thank you for sharing that. And just the reminder that it doesn't really matter, especially with kids and people. I mean, I think it's just people in our life. It doesn't really matter what you say to them. What they're paying attention to is how you, like, your actions towards yourself. And why our behavior is so important to be intentional and to be conscious. And also just the reminder that it does, it starts with you. And every time that you choose an upward spiral, right? And you even while you're pregnant, all of that is transferring to your son. And so what a cool, beautiful gift that he's already giving you is this ability to hang on, even when it in your hardest moments, hang on to him and say, yeah, I could spiral down right now and be really rough on myself. I know that pathway and I know where it takes me. And so, but I'm going to use the strength of this other being that I also want to have a different experience than I'm having. And I want him to be the reason, you know, obviously it's for myself. And you have like an extra kicker right now, right? You have an extra thing
soon to be literally.
Exactly. And so like harness that and use that sometimes it can be easier to make changes when we know that it is rippling out to other people and other beings and other entities and all these things. And so use that and just choose that spiral, right? And maybe the first belief is it's not going to be hard. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Well, Nelly, thank you so much for being part. Like I said, we will, whether we go onto Patreon and just do a separate little mini episode and throw it up there for people who want to get more information about, like I said, just the the massive shift of career and business and finding more fulfillment through that, or we do another episode, we will definitely get you back on. But thank you so much for hanging out with all of us and sharing your wisdom. And I hope that everybody listening just pulls so much from it. And is there anything else you need them to know? I'll link up, you know, where to find you, all that fun stuff, but anything else you feel like you really want to share?
Yeah, no, I feel like I love where a conversation went. So thank you so much for having me and for guiding this beautiful conversation. And yeah, I'd absolutely love to come jam with you on another mini session whenever you like.
Awesome. Thanks, Melly.
Thanks, Stacey.